The Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. And that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks and what we'll continue to talk about in the coming weeks. The unseen war in the spiritual realm, it bleeds into our daily lives. As Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, invades our existence. He wants to destroy our happiness. He wants to damage all of your most precious relationships. He wants you to cast doubt in God and His ability to love you and to strengthen you and to hold on to you. We're at war. And war is never easy. Christian life is hard, having been beaten down spiritually and emotionally many times over the years. And if you think it's easier as you grow older, you're terribly mistaken. I mean, think about Jesus at the beginning of His ministry. He had conflict, but He didn't sweat great drops of blood until the night before His death. It didn't get easier for Jesus. It's not going to get easier for us. In fact, the closer we get to Christ, the harder Satan works. And the more a church obeys God's direction, the harder Satan works. He wants to destroy all glory that can be given to God. The Christian life is not for the faint of heart. I often feel like a coach who's challenging his team at halftime that church is hard. Who's ready to embrace the hard? Who's ready to take on the adversity? Who's ready to put God's will above their own wishes? Let's do this. Let's do this. And yet sometimes I feel like I can't even do that. We know in our minds what He says. When God opens a door for His people, He's got good reasons to that. He wants to expand ministry. He wants to touch more lives. He wants to grow His kingdom on earth. And we, as individual believers, as a church, we're told, embrace that journey. No matter how hard it is, you embrace it because God's going to give you the strength that you need. Franklin Christian Church has struggled spiritually, emotionally over the years, even physically. I know that you talked for about land and relocating for a long, long time until God answered in His own time. And then you waited 5 more years before God sent a buyer for this building, and the first buyer backed out. People grow tired because it is hard, and the struggle is hard, and the journey is hard, and it's easy after 10 years of waiting to decide it's just not going to happen. It's not what God wants. I get it. I do. It is hard. When I came here 2.5 years ago, I started praying for you all and for the church as a whole. And I started praying, if this is God's will, God, send us the perfect buyer. I told our staff this past week. Send the perfect buyer. Someone who, even though the building's worth $5 million, they want to give us $10. $10 million just out of the goodness of their heart. And not only that, they say, keep the building as long as you want. Really, we just, $10 million is nothing. You keep it, do whatever you want with it. We don't care. You can leave anytime you want. And that's the way I prayed for the perfect buyer. And then God said, David, I can't even find anybody like that. That person doesn't exist. What's wrong with you? God moves us in His time. And we don't understand, and we get frustrated, and we get disappointed, and we get discouraged, and God says, I got this. So after the first buyer, He sent a second buyer. And He sent us our brothers and sisters in Christ over at the gate. And they're paying a fair price. And temporarily share space with us when necessary. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I prayed for. But for some reason, it's what God desires. And every time I hear the guy, I've been with them in two prayer meetings with their leaders and staff, and some of our people have been involved as well. You wouldn't believe the prayers that are lifted up on behalf of you. And how much they love you, and they don't even know you personally, but how much they care about you. And the work that we're doing together in the kingdom and this journey that we're taking together. But again, it reminds me over and over again, especially as I'm reading Ephesians, that our life of faith was never meant to be easy. But we can't complain. We do, but we shouldn't. I mean, you think about it. The early Christians were drenched in oil and set aflame to in a grotesque lighting of Caesar's gardens just because they believed in Jesus? Or the fact that other Christians in that first century, they were forced to watch their small children executed in front of their eyes before being sent up to the Colosseum to die? And that persecution continues today in China as new mandates by the communist government, as they want to control everything. This month, the first of this month, they have said there will be no more Christian funerals. In fact, a daughter who was praying at the funeral for her father, officials said that constitutes a Christian funeral, and she was arrested. When we have churches being torn down there, when Christians are not allowed to order Bibles online in China. And all of this taking place, and we think we have it bad, or we think we have it tough. They're losing their lives, they're losing their freedom, just because they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they want to practice that and praise Him and worship Him. How do they stand up to that kind of persecution? How did the first century Christians stand up to that kind of persecution? Look what Paul wrote, verses 10 and 11. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, we learn two things from these two verses. First of all, the battle is the Lord's, it's not ours. Verse 10 is passive. What that means is you're going to allow someone to do something for you. In this case, be strong literally means to receive strength. It is not our strength that keeps us going. We can't handle what Satan throws at us. We can't handle what life throws at us. We have to be strong in the Lord. His strength is given to us. And secondly, Paul says, dress for success. In other words, you're going to put on the armor that God supplies. Paul said, put on the full armor of God. And when he said that, what he means is you put it on once and you leave it on for the rest of your life. You do not take any part of this armor off. That leaves you vulnerable. That leaves your marriage vulnerable. That leaves your kids and the temptations they have to face vulnerable. You put on the armor of God and you leave it on for the rest of your life so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This is a very important verse here because the word schemes tells us that when you are tempted, it is an individual plan that Lucifer has for you. There are common temptations for all of us. But the way it is set up and the way that it is planned, it is individualized just for you. And it's different from how he will attack this person or how he will attack that believer. It is set for you because he knows you. Satan has studied your life through his fallen angels. He knows what turns you on. He knows what you like. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about your life. And so he patterns and plans this series of attacks for the rest of your life. And when things change in your life, he'll change the plan. Because he hates you. He takes pleasure in your misery. When things aren't going well at work or in your marriage or with your kids or with your parents or at school, he derives pleasure from that. He loves to see your tears. He loves you angry. He loves you when you're open to these temptations. So Paul says you're going to put on this armor of God and you're going to stand. In fact, three times in four verses, he says, stand the ground that Jesus has already won. You know where? Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that we are to attack Satan. Do you know why? Because Jesus already invaded Satan's domain and he won. The war is over. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. He opened the gates of heaven forever. The war is over. Which you're sitting there thinking, then why are we still fighting? When Japan surrendered, it's going to be over, right? When Japan surrendered, ending the Pacific War, in World War II, the war was over. But it wasn't over. Now, there was peace in the Pacific, but just on paper. Because there were isolated Japanese soldiers on islands spread throughout the Pacific who were still fighting. Because they never received word that the war was over. They never received word that Japan had surrendered. And so they kept fighting guerrilla warfare, taking on anybody who came to that island. Because as far as they were concerned, they're still at war, so they're still fighting. Now that's the spiritual war that we're in. The war is over. Jesus died for us. It's over. But the fighting still continues. Here's the difference. The enemy knows it's over. They still are fighting retreating battles until they can do so no more. They want to wreak as much havoc in your life and in your marriage and in the lives of those around you that you have. You got to fight that every day. You got to put on the full armor of God. Now, our battle gear is patterned after the weapons and the armor of a first century Roman soldier. And you can imagine, as Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, he is chained 24/7 to a Roman soldier before his first trial before Caesar. And so as he's writing this letter, he's looking at his model. And he's looking at the armor of this Roman soldier, and he's patterning this armor of God based on the Roman soldier. Now, we don't have a Roman soldier here today, but we've got a modern equivalent. So I'd like for you to welcome to the stage Sheriff's Deputy Clint Esteban, who is here. Thank you, Clint. Clint is not only on duty, he is here. If you've been here, he's here practically every Sunday, watching over us and protecting us, along with other deputies who are down in the children's area. And in any time we have something going on here, we have deputies here for our protection. Clint is not only on the job, he is a member here. He was baptized here. He and his wife, Carol, greet people as they come in. Thank you. And he comes showing you, it's interesting, the armor of the Roman soldier, our armor today, and what our law enforcement people carry, very similar in the fact, the helmet, this is made of what?
Kevlar.
Kevlar, the same as your vest, or similar?
Similar,
okay, similar to that. And then you've got Kevlar vest, which is the breastplate of the Roman soldier, right?
Right, and then we have...
Have a picture, yep. That's what you're wearing now?
That's what I'm wearing now. And then if you look at the imprint in the chest where it says Safari Land, there's an extra plate there that's over the heart to try and protect the heart, give more protection of the heart.
And then, but you have another jacket that you wear, flak jacket, when needed.
This one's for everyday wear, work-wise. It'll stop most handguns, or pretty much all handgun rounds. This one's for active shooter, somebody with a rifle. This will not stop a rifle. Rifle will penetrate this very easily. That'll stop a rifle. This is my vest I'm wearing now is approximately 7 pounds. That's approximately 40.
And you wear that on top of that.
And I'll put that on top of this if there's an active shooter going on with the helmet.
You got to be strong.
Yeah.
He used to wrestle professionally in Florida, by the way. I want you to know that. And Clint and I are the opposite of Samson. When Samson had hair, he was very strong. When God took away our hair, we became very strong. So, it's the Bible. What can I say? We're going to talk about the breastplate in just a moment, but let's talk about the belt because Paul was saying the belt of truth, and it's the most fundamental. Would you ever go on patrol? Would you ever go on duty without your belt?
No, I would not.
And can you explain what's on this belt?
Yeah, on my left side, I have handcuffs towards the back. I have my handgun. I got a baton as well. Cell phone's irrelevant. Now, on the right side, I got extra magazines for the handgun. I got my mace, taser, my radio to call for help if need be or stay in contact with dispatch, and I have a tourniquet in the back.
Very good. Now, the cell phone is relevant if your wife calls and says, bring home supper, right? Then,
yes.
Then you have to, okay. Because if you don't, you need all of this gear, definitely,
yes.
When you come home and you forget it. Excellent. Well, and we're talking about this belt is so fundamental, and that's what we're going to talk about right now, because this has all the resources that a Roman soldier, but also a law enforcement officer today needs. And Clint, I want to thank you. Let's pray for Clint before we let him go. Father, I thank you so much for Clint, for his life and dedication of service to this community. And thank you for what he does for us, that there is a calm here, a comfort here in knowing that he is on duty as well as other deputies that are here. So thank you so much for what he means to us, not just as someone who protects us, but as a brother in Christ. I thank you for his wife, Carol. Father, please continue to protect them and bless them and love them. And Father, let us, in everything we do and say, give you glory. And thank you for Clint's friendship to everyone here. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Paul says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, Roman soldiers had this belt that they would wear. And underneath everything, underneath the breastplate, underneath, they would wear this tunic. And if you think of just a square piece of material that had room or holes for the arms and the head, they would put this on and they would wear it underneath the breastplate. It just made it more comfortable. In the winter months, they would wear a long tunic that went down to the ankles, and that would keep their legs warm. But if they went to battle, they had to do something about this. And so the Bible speaks of the phrase, and my brother and I used to laugh at this phrase because we had no idea what it meant. But in the King James Version, it says, gird your loins. And we just couldn't come up with what in the world that was. And basically what happened is that a soldier, when going to battle in the winter months, would take the four corners of that material and then tuck it in, pull it up and tuck it in to the belt, which made a mini tunic, if you will. It wasn't a fashion statement, but it gave him mobility to be effective in battle so he wouldn't trip over that material. So the belt was essential. It also held his sword. It was connected to the breastplate and kept that in place. So the belt of truth is fundamental. That's where it all starts. That's why Paul mentions it first. This is what we have to do. We've got to remember Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. So he will do anything he can to keep you from knowing the truth. And that's what the belt of truth is. It is the truth of God's word. We're talking about God's word here, the Bible. Because everything in your life needs to be tucked in to this belt of truth. Everything, your priorities, your habits, your marriage, your workplace, your giving, all of that tucked into the belt which connects it to God's truth. Everything about your daily life needs to be based on the Word of God. That you have the Word, you know the truth, and you spend time in that truth every day, consistently. You've got to believe in the reliability of Scripture. That this isn't just another book. That the Bible is living. It is the Word of God. He put His Word through authors who were told, conditioned, inspired to write only the truth. And then he gives it to you. And this is how we get to know God, how we get to know his son, how we get to know about salvation, how we get to know about these attacks. Every day we should say, hey, what does the Bible say about this? When you go to work and they tell you, hey, in order to make sales, you're going to have to lie. What does the Bible say about that? When you lose your temper, when you get angry, when you're about to blow it and blow up at someone, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say about our relationships? What does the Bible say about sharing Jesus with others? That's the questions we need to ask. Now, in January, we went through this, and you saw these papers, Take the Hill. There are papers still out there because we want you involved. Our mission was to know God's Word, experience the Spirit's transformation, advance Jesus' mission. And we start with knowing God's Word. It has to start there. You got to put the belt on first. And we said there are 9 tracks, and we want you to do, just pick out 2 of them for 2020. This is a decade of ministry, but it starts in this year. Just pick out 2 of the tracks. And we started with knowing God's Word. There are Bible reading plans. If you are not in the Bible right now, I want to say, why not? You're leaving yourself vulnerable to attack. You're leaving your marriage and your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your parents. You're leaving it all vulnerable to Satan. So he can attack you and he can take the ground that Jesus has already won. If you didn't pick one of these up, pick it up. Please, we have Bible reading plans. And then there are Bible studies that are going on, sometimes short, sometimes long. There are opportunities. We're going to have classes that teach you how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible. But you don't have to wait for the class. You do it now. You get a Bible and you read it. You pick it up. 15 minutes a day. Listen, your mind is the most critical weapon that you have in spiritual warfare. It's right up here, and you've got to fill your mind. You've got to wear this belt of truth and know what the Bible says, because this is the way you're going to fight back. This is an opportunity that you have to fight Satan and what he wants you to do. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, what did he do? Quoted scripture. He used the Bible. He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And since Satan has a severe allergy to the truth, he had to leave Jesus. He came back, but he had to leave him because he hates the truth. Knowing the Word and having the Word in you is going to help you fight the lies and deception that Satan has for that individualized plan to get you to fall, to ruin your life, to bring misery into your family. Listen, if I sat up here and I offered you a way to make your marriage better, or if I said, listen, I can help you with your parenting skills. If you're struggling with your kids, we're going to talk about that. We're going to do this. I've got a way that'll make you a better parent. Or if I said, hey, if you're drowning in debt and you're drowning in finances and you don't know what to do and you're struggling, I can help you with that. Or if you worry all the time, if this is a part of your day, like you just worry, 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 I can get rid of that worry. You'd say, sign me up today for all those things. You would say, yes, I will attend any seminar. I'll watch any video. I'll buy any book. I'll do anything you say. If you can help me with those powerful things that are in my life right now. Well, I can't, but God can. He can help you. 15 minutes a day is what that's the average time it takes to read one chapter in the Bible. 15 minutes. And if you can't find 15 minutes, you come ask me and I'll ask you your schedule and I'll find you 15 minutes. And you won't like that because I'll probably find you a couple of hours. But we need to know, be in the Word. And if you don't have a Bible, listen, let me tell you right now, those pew Bibles, we use them in the Word, you take it with you. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to take a Bible with you when you leave here. Because you need to have a Bible in your hand. You need to be in the Word every day, even if it's just 15 minutes. Got to have this truth, this belt. Got to know God's Word or you'll never experience change. Not from the Holy Spirit, Because you will avoid his word. You'll avoid changing. And you won't do anything significant in Jesus' mission. It starts with the word. Let's get into it. Okay, we're running out of time. Let's move on. Let's talk about this breastplate of righteousness for a moment and what that does for us. No Roman soldier in his right mind would go into battle without this breastplate. It protected him from the base of his neck down to his waist and then connected to the belt. Now, the Jews, interestingly enough, believed, and you can see it in Paul's writings, believed that the two areas that we think of, our thoughts and our emotions, were all here. That the thoughts came from the heart, and the emotions came from the lower organs, or the bowels, as we would call them. And so the breastplate protects both our thoughts and our emotions. So when we talk about righteousness, right here, all that simply means righteousness is right living. It is living the right way, God's way. That's what we're talking about here. So when you live like Jesus, when you start thinking like Jesus and living like Jesus, you've put on this breastplate of righteousness, because you take the truth, the belt of truth, you take that truth and you apply it to your life. So that's right living. This is the two easiest pieces of armor to put on. You take the truth of God's word, apply it to your life, and live and think like Jesus. What righteous living does, it destroys the condition in which the demons can fester, in which temptations can get into our minds. We want to destroy these two areas of attack. When you accept Jesus Christ, not only are your sins forgiven, you take on his righteousness. Now, you won't be perfect. We want to try to strive every day to think like Jesus and live like Jesus. You won't be perfect, but you can live right. You can be right. And that's what it means. You know, when I was... had my two young sons with me when they were very young, we go to the restaurant and the server would bring a high chair. Now, inevitably, and some of you remember this, the high chair, the tray was covered by cellophane. So you had to rip that off. And underneath the cellophane was a paper bib, which was absolutely useless. You put a bib on a small child, this paper bib, they rip it, they tear it, they pull it off, they get food seeping right through it onto their clothes. It's just, it's worthless. And I actually invented, it's the only thing I've ever invented, I wanted to invent a bib made of sheet metal. Kid you not. I mean, it can't tear, it won't go away, and it keeps the kid in the high chair when they're trying to crawl out. Never sold. Nobody would ever buy into that. I don't know why. Here's what I see Christians doing all the time. They're putting on paper armor. They're not reading the Bible, or they read it once every so often, and they just open it up and, okay, that's good. I'm covered. I'll check off that box. And so the truth never becomes a part of their lives. And because it's not in them, they can't apply it, because they really don't even think about what it is. And when God says to Paul, put on the full armor, that's all that's going to protect you. It's all you need to protect you. The armor of God starts with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. God's word and living the right way, applying that truth. You do those two things, just two things, you're on your way to not allowing Satan and his fallen angels to have a way into your life. But you put on the armor and you leave it on, which means you can't stop. You start with the word and living the right way, and you hold on to that. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life. He hates you. And he loves to see your life in misery. You can do this. This is not just something that you think about. This is something you do. Do it for your family. Do it for your marriage. Do it for your kids. Do it for your parents. Do it for Jesus Christ. We're going to close just with prayer today. And then I want you to go out as soldiers, as part of God's army. And you're going into battle and you're going to be ready. All this week you're going to be ready. This is your time.